Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of How We Wrote the Book. My name is Yomi Adegoke.
And I'm Elizabeth Uvebenene.
And today we're going to be talking about the good days, the bad days, and the final push in terms of writing. So a big question that often comes up is writer's block and how to deal with it. Elizabeth, personally, when it came to the issue of writer's block for writing Slay in Your Lane and just generally writing, how do you kind of deal with it?
Oh, this is such a good question because I don't have a great answer. I don't know. The thing about writer's block is you can't force it. You can't sit there and just like, okay, be like, I'm gonna bang it out, because in all honesty, I was never good at that. So I think for me, I just distract myself anyway. So I'm always in a permanent state of writer's block. And I just have like, I think showers, when I do like the most mundane things, I would say it helps. So if I've got like, I guess, like a bit of a, you know, house chores to do, then I try and kind of just do it, as opposed to just sitting there and forcing myself to kind of like come up with a couple of words or come up with like an inspirational thought or something like that. So I always tend, I think there's an actual scientific reason. I don't know what the scientific reason is, but there's something about when you're in the shower, there is that you have better like ideas and like there's some sort of reason. I should really know, but yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but I would definitely say talking to myself out loud helps me overcome like, I guess, writer's block. So doing my mundane tasks at home, or let's say I have to like walk into the shops, just the act of doing something in an autopilot way, but still frees up my mind. And then I can just like, I talk out loud to myself. That helps. What about you?
Mine is that, definitely agree, you can't force it at all. Anytime I try to force it, like, it's just like, I don't know, it makes it worse. But what I do try to do is just, I mean, I think I actually said this in another episode, that I have a really weird writing style where I have writer's block all the time. Like you, I'm in a permanent state of writer's block. Like, it's very rare that something just like comes out. So I just try to get on the page. I will write, even if it's pretty much gobbledygook, like I will just write knowing that I'm not going to force it to sound good, because you're allowed as like infinite drafts. No one sees your drafts bar you and maybe sometimes your editor, and even then it's usually the final draft of like how many drafts. So getting it on the page for me is really important. And I again, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but I like write in this way where I will put ellipses in, like I will literally just write some words, and then where the words aren't like coming, I just put dot dot dot. And genuinely, I will do this like 100 times until I'm able to think of the words. Thesaurus.com gets wheeled out like a lot. And I end up, you know, synonyms. Like if I can't think of a word for something, and you know, even after writing out the ellipses, it doesn't come, then I end up going on thesaurus.com and like trying to find like better words than the ones that are in my brain. So yeah, I do think just like trying to, you know, put something down often helps. I think also doing other things definitely helps, whether that be household chores, or sometimes like what I like to do is like break it up, that I give myself 30 minutes to write. If nothing comes out at all, then I like give myself like 30 minutes of like a break, and I watch something, like just some crap in the meantime that I hope will like just stimulate me in some way, or at least like make me feel less like crappy.
Yeah, because I know some people listen to music. Can you listen to music while you write? Does that help?
Not at all. Not for me. I feel like, can you listen to music? I think you can.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what it is, but music helps me just get into the space of thinking. Music helps me think, and I think to be a good writer, like, you know, you don't have to be, obviously you can go, you have to be able to put sentences together, but I think it's the thinking behind a lot of stuff that I guess like creates the writer's block, because it's that, it's like, okay, cool, what is the idea, what am I trying to say? So I think sometimes when I list, when I'm, you know, really trying to get into a piece of work, not necessarily having to write loads and loads, but trying to get into it, I have to listen to music. Like, music does help, but I have, there are people who listen to podcasts and they're writing. I'm just confused by those types of people, because I'm just like, like, that is a distraction.
But that's how I feel with music. I'm like, how are the lyrics not, because I can't concentrate on anything, and I'm really rubbish at multitasking. Like, if I was to listen to music whilst writing, I'll just end up writing the lyrics to the song on my document. Like, I can't listen to podcasts, but I also can't listen to music or anything other than, it has to be literally like radio silence. Like, at best, some, like, you know, ambience from like people next door, like in the next room, but like, I could never listen to anything that required even the tiniest kind of like concentration. Like, I just need pure silence for some reason.
You know what some people do as well? Some people like read to, like, while they're writing, to kind of get
that's a good
block.
Idea. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
That is a good idea, but I don't know how. I don't know. Like, for me, I can't imagine. I don't like reading other people's work if I have to do like a piece of big like writing, because I just don't want to be influenced. I know some writers are like that. What are you like?
So I'm like, my conceited ass literally reads my own work. I read my own stuff all the time back, because I like to remind myself that I can write. Honestly, I will go. Yeah, I like to go back to old articles and read what I've written and be like, oh yeah, you can write. Like, because honestly, when you've got really bad writer's block, you genuinely feel like, how did I write anything at all? So I like to read my own stuff, definitely, to remind myself that I actually can do it. But then also, I feel like sometimes when it comes to writer's block, I understand the fear of being influenced by other people's writing, for sure. But then I also think sometimes, like, I think there's a phrase somewhere, I can't remember exactly, but it's something like, to be a good writer, like, you need to be a good reader. I probably just, I think it's definitely phrased.
No, I think it's true. No,
but yeah, exactly. When you read other people's work, sometimes, honestly, if you can avoid being influenced by it in like a way that means you're just going to like plagiarize it, but like, if you can, it kind of helps you distinguish as well. Like, oh yeah, this is what good writing looks like and reads like and sounds like, and like kind of reminds you, like, I don't know, like you can pick up some sort of tips from it. So I do think that's actually quite a good bit of advice. Obviously, we're working in a pair and have always written in a pair. And I know we've spoken a lot about the idea of like when one of us isn't able to like write, or not even write, like just work and stuff on something, the other one is able to pick it up. How do you feel about that in terms of writing? Because I feel like with our chapters, we were definitely writing our own chapters quite separately. So how do you think that like support plays into that? Because it's quite different to like replying to emails or like doing a panel. It's kind of more, I think for us, it was more personalized with the chapters.
Yeah. I think it comes down to like, sometimes it's like, what are you trying to say? Because it shouldn't be that complicated. Like, because it shouldn't, I think for me, the writings I prefer are like persuasive writing that really makes a point and hammer it home. So I think we are quite different on this, because I don't think I like flowery language as much. So I think that for me, it just comes down to clarity. So in terms of like, I think you don't even need to, you know, have somebody like you. So for example, most people aren't going to be writing it in a pair. So I would say that speak to somebody who, you know, is external, and, you know, just trying to just be like, okay, I'm doing this chapter, or I'm doing this particular bit, I'm kind of stuck on this, can I just explain to you what I'm trying to say, and you can give me prompts, like, and kind of like not interrogate in some like deep way, but kind of like, you know, ask me questions, because that when you ask someone questions, it clarifies like their thought or their piece of argument or whatever they're trying to say. Because I just think it needs to be, if, you know, if someone's reading it, they need to be able to get it. They don't, like, I'm not really a big fan of like stuff I have to read 10 times in order to get, like, and that's in terms of my writing. So I think in terms of support, in terms of overcoming like challenges, it's like, if you is speaking to if someone externally and going, okay, this is what I'm trying to say, are you getting that? How about you?
Yeah, I think that's definitely useful, having somebody else feed in, for sure. Back in the day, like even when I was just writing like my first blog posts and like, you know, for the university and paper and stuff, I used to send it to people and be like, oh yeah, can you just make sure that it reads right? And I think that's another thing as well, like grammar and like the less sexy stuff, like, because obviously tone and like making sure something reads well is one thing, but also just making sure that something makes grammatical sense and is clear and is easy to follow, because obviously writing is just like you putting all your ideas onto a piece of paper, and if you're not conveying them clearly, and if like, if you're sending it to somebody and they can't actually follow. I absolutely love flowery writing. Like, I love when writing's really lyrical and stuff like that. But then, I mean, some of the best writing that I've read that's like really beautifully written, at the same time, it's like really impenetrable, which then means that like I'm like, oh, I don't know what it's saying, but it's provocative, gets people going. Like, I don't actually know what's being conveyed. And I think it is very useful when you have somebody that can like just make sure that you're conveying your ideas clearly. So when it comes to that leads us quite nicely onto our next bit, which is about editors, because that's pretty much what their job is in terms of, you know, making sure that you're actually making sense. And, you know, a good editor just basically elevates your writing and makes it not only more clear and easier to understand, but also just makes it like, it kind of makes it more you. It just makes your writing that's already, you know, fingers crossed, good. It takes it from being good to great and brings out sort of like the elements of your writing that make it better. In my eyes, a bad editor tries to basically write what you're saying. I've definitely experienced that with editors before.
What do you mean, like, a bad editor writes what you're trying to say?
Like a bad editor in my mind, very much kind of like, how would you put it? Like, rewrite, like they have their opinions in terms of what you're saying, and they kind of like will, like, I've had editors writing jokes to me. Like, I've had editors like fully like just have an opinion on something and kind of like I don't know, add their own two cents, and I'm just like, that's actually not your job. Do you know what I mean? And I think like one of the best editors that I've ever had, aside from obviously our lovely editor at Fourth Estate, Helen Garner Williams, is a editor called Zing Zeng at Vice, who I feel like, when I say a good editor makes your writing more you, that's how I felt with her. But it's just that, like, obviously when I'm writing at like 4 a.m. in the morning and I'm incoherent, I'm not spelling right, and things don't make sense. She'd make things make sense, but also she'd pull bits out and sort of say, do you think you could, you know, further this point? Do you think you could contextualize this point and make it better? But I've definitely experienced, you know, editors that have taken it upon themselves to kind of like almost rewrite my work or strip tone, which is something I hate as well, when you write something and they really kind of like pull the tone out of it it like, and just strip it back in a way that nobody asked for. That's very frustrating. Have you had any bad experiences in terms of editing?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about having somebody kind of like strip tone, and it's a hard one, because I think when you're writing articles, there's a kind of like, or there's a particular style for a particular publication, so that is I would say a harder challenge to navigate, because, you know, there's a particular like, so the FT have a, so I write stuff for the FT, and they obviously, there's a particular FT, or, you know, for FT Financial Times house style that they have, so like there's a limit to that. I think when it comes to books, I think that's, you're right, that's where it becomes very much like, I would say, like, dangerous, because, you know, you want to, there's a reason why you're writing this book, and you want to kind of write something that very much kind of like speaks to what you're trying to ultimately like say to the reader. So you need to be able to be as, you know, as full as possible, and you don't want somebody kind of like rewriting stuff for you in huge chunks, and then you just go, okay, cool, that's, because like, it's, I don't, that's for me, that's a losing strategy, because a reader will pick up on that. So
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I think you're right. I think the best, so like Helen, her editor at Fourth Estate, I remember through Slaying Lane, there was bits where she would ask questions and she'll go, do you mean this? Like what, like she'll interrogate it. Like I was saying before, like sometimes you need an external person that kind of like can interrogate and go, oh, what do you mean by that? Like, oh, I didn't get that. How about this? Like, as in like really put suggestions that are interesting, not just like, I remember there was one person that I was, they wanted me to write something. And then they kept on pushing a point. They're like, I really want you to say this. I really want you to say this. Yeah, and it's so kind bad. Of like, it was just very much like, this is not what I like. And I think that's like, you know, if you have an editor like that while writing an actual book, which is like what, 40 to 60,000 words, you're going to end up with a product that isn't what you intended to write. And you need, you know, everybody has a particular tone, and you know, you might not even, so for example, some of like, you know, really kind of, so for example, someone like Matt Haig, you don't even need to read a book by the front cover to know his particular type of writing. Even like for you, like Yomi, you have a particular type of writing, someone can open up and go, okay, that's Yomi. You don't even need to read the byline to kind of like, you know, read the person's name. And I think that's the strength of a great writer, but it's also strength of a great editor that understands you and what you're trying, like what tone, what personality, and like what that is. So I would definitely say, don't ever feel pressured. And I think this is the thing, when you're even this is why people always say as well, with like certain books, you know, certain publishing houses, certain editors have particular kind of styles, and while you're you know, when you're thinking about publishing a book and you're going through different types of meetings and you're kind of like sourcing out, okay, which editor is for me, which publisher is for me, editor plays a huge role, because that's your day to day. Like, you need somebody that can very much kind of like understand what, like, you know, kind of really bring out the best of you. Do you know what I mean? So I think that that's something you have to think back. And also as well, like with editors, like, I think you have to be able to respond to feedback with the editor. And I think that comes down to respect. How do you respond to feedback when it comes to like your work? And I think we've spoken about this before, but I guess not in terms of like, I guess, you know, you've written a whole body of work and you need some, you know, you need somebody to kind of like, you need your editor to kind of like sense check it and things like that.
Love a bit of feedback. Definitely. Like, love, genuinely really enjoy great feedback. And that's why I always bring up Zing, because I'm like, she gives me feedback that I'm actually excited to read, because I know it's going to elevate the piece, and I know that she'll spot things that I haven't and stuff like that. I don't know why, like, I can't say I don't know why people don't like feedback and critique, because I know obviously it can, you know, in a more like, I don't know, if you're like very sensitive about your work, it can definitely make you feel bad. But I think, because for me anyway, like, I'm very confident in my writing and I just want it to be the best it can be. So I don't know, I feel like it makes my life easier. Like, you're making sure that somebody can actually understand what I'm saying. So like, go ahead, like I'm more than fine. I think what frustrates me is feedback, like the kind of feedback you spoke to, which is, I want you to say this. It really irritates me, and it very often comes, to be honest, from when I'm supposed, it only usually happens, to be honest, when I'm writing about something that pertains to, for instance, like a black female experience or racism or some form of ism, sexism, and then it will be an editor who isn't of the same background as me wanting me to make a point that they want expressed, and I really don't like that. It's very common where it's like, we're talking about racism and I want you to talk about racism in this way because I feel like this is what should be said about it. Like, I'm not a mouthpiece, I'm not a puppet, I'm not there to like regurgitate thoughts that you have on this idea. If you want to go write that piece, go write yourself, but like, I'm not going to do that. That's feedback I really don't enjoy. But when feedback is like, and also vague feedback, I really don't like it when it's like, oh yeah, if you just do this, 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 and this, it'll be, yeah, that's great. Like, that'll be a perfect piece. Because I'm like, I need line edits. Like, I think you know this about me anyway, that when it comes to like I don't know, if I needed to learn a dance routine, I'm like, someone needs to show me step by step. I want someone who just picks things up. Like, if I needed to learn a recipe, like, I can cook anyway, I would need every line, like, every single step shown. So I feel like for edits, I like line edits. I like comments that kind of say, what, do you know what I mean? Like, I really like it to be clear so I can actually action those edits. So, yeah, that's my kind of thoughts on feedback. Do you struggle at times? Like, are you someone who can take feedback well in terms of writing? Like, are you someone who can get like sensitive to it? Because I don't think I've ever even asked you.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know if I'm. I would say, yeah, I'm a naturally defensive person anyway. So I think when it comes to work, I think I try not to be as much. But I think it honestly comes down to like, and this is quite bad. Like, if I rate the person, and like,
I think that's what it comes down for a lot of people, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's harder to take critique when you don't respect, when you're like, can you even do your own thing? Like, yeah, it's exactly. Harder when you don't, yeah.
And I think that's the thing. So I'm not precious a lot of the time with ideas and things like that if I rate the person. But I would definitely say recently, I've definitely become like, oh, I don't even care what you think. And actually, no, even if I rate the person, you always have to have an intuition about something. So even if you like some, what do you think of this? I can ask people what I think. 10 people I respect. I don't think I have 10 people, but let's say I have 3 people I respect and I can ask their opinion about something and they might not give me the feedback I want, but I'll just do whatever I want anyway. Like, if it's, and but in terms of, but that's just like life. But because that's just, I guess, you've either take on, you know, you can spot good feedback from bad feedback. I think that is also very much very important. When it comes to writing, sometimes you have to have an intuition about something and say, no, this point is really important because of this, and this is what I really want to say. So I know what you're, I know like why you think this, but I'm gonna leave it in there. Like, sometimes you have to go back and really like double down on certain things, but you have to trust yourself. I think there's that instinct, but yeah, naturally in terms of feedback, I you know, when it comes to book writing and like, I'm probably a bit too, what's the word? Like, give me feedback, like similar to you. But so with like, for example, Helen, I think I love, give it to me. Like, don't hold back. Don't look up, like, don't, because I think, I guess my writing journey is, it's not as, I wouldn't say I'm a confident writer, like, absolutely not. Like, I wouldn't say I'm a, oh my God, like, I'm a confident writer. So I think I appreciate an editor who can really go, this is amazing, this is great, but there's 10 other things that is a problem with this. Like, I am very much open to that because I know that I can think well, but maybe when, you know, pulling it together, I'm very much up for like line edits and all of that sort of stuff. But if the goal remains the same, so if what I'm trying to say and the thinking behind it is still the same, then we're all good. But I would definitely say like I do need help along the journey to get there.
So in terms of drafts, are you someone that basically has loads of drafts, or are you someone who just has like a kind of handful, writes it out nearly perfectly, or like how you want it to be the first time and then only have like a few amendments after that? Which camp would you say you fall into?
I'm the type of person that has like loads of drafts, hardly, like, I'm constantly opening up new documents constantly, like and taking the best bits out of what I've written, putting it into a new document, then fool around with that one, then create a new document. Like, it's just, I wouldn't say it's like the best way to work. But in terms of knowing when it's the final edit, I would say it's just sometimes it's the deadline kind of forces you to kind of know when the final edit is. I know you, in terms of like your writing style, you're very much like, use a lot of ellipses and stuff. How many drafts do you, like, when do you know it's right to send to an editor?
I don't know. It sounds weird, but it really is just a feeling. Like, if I can, I read it as objectively as possible. I kind of step out of myself and I try to read it like it was in the publication, and I'm like, so in terms of this is obviously just me when I'm writing for magazines, that like I will try to step outside of myself and be like, okay, does this read like it could go into print? And that was actually more difficult in terms
of that's a high bar
book writing. It is, yeah, it really is. Because, and I guess as well, because I don't really, I the document I start with is the document I end with always. I don't know why, like, it's just because I guess I leave so many gaps into it anyway, and it's almost like a puzzle piece, because I really, it's just, honestly, that's why I don't let anyone watch me write, because it's just the weirdest thing to see, because it's like, I will scan the whole document, add the word, you know, like, I don't even know, obituary somewhere, and then I'll go dot, 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 dot next time, then I'll go, you know, skyscraper in another bit, and then I'll just scan the whole document until I've done that, like, 1,000 times over, until it actually has, like, there are no more ellipses left, and that's a really, it's weird, because then that's just making sure all the words are there, and then I have to like go through it and make sure that it actually like reads well and like sounds good. And it's only when I've like kind of can read it and imagine it actually like being able to be read objectively, like away from my own weird eyes that I've been reading it with like dot dot dots everywhere, that's only the only time I'm like, okay, yeah, this can go into like if this can go into print, then it works. Like I can, I'm like, I'm happy to send this, I'm happy to file. But then for books, it was just, it's just so much more difficult, because it's so much longer. So even my weird like ellipses process, with the kind of like gaping holes in like paragraphs, it's more difficult, because you know, I'm writing like 800 words for a piece, and then for a chapter it's how many thousand. So it's just way more difficult to do it that way. So I tend to try and do it like, I can't do it whole chapters at a time, so I kind of break them up. And again, it is still the same thing though, is I need to be able to read that whole chapter and feel like it's something that if it went into print, I'd feel okay. Even that first draft, like it's rare that I send off like something that's completely, I'm not happy with, even if it's just the first draft, it's usually something that reads okay, but isn't my best. Whereas it first like starts, like it's just, it literally doesn't even make any sense. So yeah, it's more just like a feeling, just looking at it and being like, yeah, okay, if this was to go live tomorrow, I wouldn't die, basically.
Oh, okay, that's actually quite good, because I am the queen of it's as good as it gets, like when it comes to like
sometimes grass, that's better though, just getting it
I'm like gagging to just get rid of it, and I know that it's not great, but I know that I need to kind of send it, because I know that that space of while I send it will give me a better kind of perspective when I read it back later on. But yeah, that's very interesting. So thank you so much for listening to The Good Days, Bad Days, and the final push into getting your edits over to your editor. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy the next episode, which will be all about the art of a good book cover, which is quite fun. So yeah, until next time. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.